It says a Baptist and a Pentecostal and a Charismatic all died and went to hell. Don't think I'm picking on a certain group, but that's just the way it was shared. And probably most of you are in one of those, or have been, or somewhere. And in hell, in the flames, the Baptist looked up and was so confused and said, I can't be here. I believe once saved, always saved. And so confused at why he was in the flames. And then the Pentecostal looked up and looked around. He's confused. He says, I can't be here. I speak in tongues. And he's so confused that he speaks in tongues and he's in hell. And then the Charismatic, if you're not familiar with a lot of the teachings, the Charismatic was in hell. He looked around. He said, this ain't hell and I ain't hot. And if you don't get that, it was the thing that was at the very thrust of the movement was basically say things the way you want them to be. And all three positions were, in a sense, of showing a fallacy of one who thought they had God in a box, that because they had said a prayer, went through the form that God was stuck with them, and God lets it be known in the Scripture, He's not stuck with anyone. He warns lest that same vanity that Israel thought God was stuck with, He said that lest it happen to you. And so God warned, and that was such a fallacy, and you're going to find so many people confused in that. And then there was the one that because I speak in tongues, and Paul himself, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, but it profits me nothing. And if a tongue is all a person's got, they don't have anything. A fallacy. But the third fallacy of that, well, just because you say this ain't hell, doesn't mean it's not hell. How many can see that? And just because you say this is not hot, doesn't mean it's not hot. Because hell will be hot. Why would I share that? There's no way around it. The Supreme Court decision Friday that nationwide legalized gay marriage, I'm going to say that it was like a stomach blow. Not because I didn't expect it. I picked up this book. This is the message given over. State of the Union, Summer 2014. So it's been out a year. By Brother Surface, just going through the Scripture. How God prepares a nation for judgment. And the first step, and it's Romans 1, verse 24, and we'll just go from there. The example was Israel, how that God prepared a nation for His judgment. Because they knew Him and they didn't glorify Him as God. And if you're going to set aside Israel, what other nation in the history of the world, don't you listen to me, in the history of the world was founded from its beginning a nation that knew and honored God? What other nation in the history of the world? But the Scripture says, and that would be the verse before, because they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. God gave them up to uncleanness. In beginning, and Brother Surface always goes back to 67, this generation, the last generation, but beginning with this generation, some of you weren't even born. A lot of you weren't even born then. But for the first time in its nation's history, this nation cast down the sanctity of marriage. And I want to say that again. For the first time in this nation's history, this nation cast it down and trod upon it. Did it not? And beginning with that generation, and you say, well, that's just what they want to do, so God's going to judge them for that. No, I want you to see, and this is important, this was God's doing. And that's what I want you to see. I said earlier that what you see is a defeat for this nation. It's a defeat for the justice system. It's defeat for morality. But it's not a defeat for the kingdom of God. It's God's doing. It's God's doing that gave them up to uncleanness. Well, I want you just to read on down just a little bit. And that was the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies. And a nation cast aside the sanctity of marriage. And a lot of us maybe were in part in that. But we turned to the Lord. We repented. But as a nation, marriage was cast aside. And that's evident in this generation. Can you see that? That marriage, as the holiness, the sacredness of marriage, was cast aside. Go to the 25th verse. Who changed the truth of God in lie and worship, served the creature more than the Creator, is blessed forever. For this cause, who? I want you to see who. God gave them up to vile affections. You say, well, what is that? Well, let's read. For even women did change the natural use against nature. The men with men, even the natural use of the woman, burned in the lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseen, receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which would be. And that was the second step of God preparing a nation for its judgment. Who gave them up? I want to ask the question again. Who gave them up? God. See, I've told people for years that, you know, I think it's horrible, and I've always thought it's horrible, that church, that group that gets out and protest at soldiers' funerals and screaming, God's going to judge you because of this, because of homosexuality and things like that. I think that's horrible. And it's a complete ignorance of the Word of God. Because when God gives a nation up to something, the nation can't help itself. And I want you to hear me. The nation couldn't help itself. And the nation, and this decision, I mean, it broke my heart. But I can't say I knew it was coming. And the reason I brought this, pick up a copy and read it. Given over. Brother Surface told you last year what this year would be. Go to the next verse, 28th verse. So I'm going to show you some things. Though it's an hour of sadness and darkness, it's not a victory for those who are anti-God. It's God doing what He said He would do. And so, all that. And he says, and they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And their answer to every one of this was, get rid of God, get rid of God. He's the problem. And so God, his final step toward preparing a nation was he gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, there's a story, and I'm not going to go there and read it for time's sake, but there's a story I was reminded of in the days of the prophet Elisha. The king of Syria was deathly ill, and he sent his number one man to Elisha the prophet to ask Elisha, will the king recover? Can he recover? And Elisha answered Hazael, the king's number one man, and he said, the king can most certainly recover. And then Elisha began to look at him. The scripture says he fixed his gaze upon him. And Elisha began to weep. I want you to see that. If I just started staring at you and begin to weep. And Elisha began to weep, and Hazael said, what is it, my Lord? What's wrong? And Elisha spoke to Hazael and said this, because I know that you will tear down the strongholds of Israel, that you will cast its babies against the wall, and you will rip up the women with child. And Hazel is shocked and astonished and insulted. And his question to the prophet, am I a dog that I would do this thing? And Elisha looked at him. He says, the Lord has shown me that you will be king over Syria. And Hazael turned and left, went back to the king, and the king said, what did the prophet say? The prophet said, you will most surely recover. And then early that next morning, Hazael got a blanket and dipped it in water and went and took the king's life and became king of Syria and went and tore down Israel's strongholds, ripped up the women with child, and threw their babies against the wall. What a horrible day, what a horrible hour. You understand why the prophet's weeping. And everything that happened was God's doing. And I want you to understand that. Everything that happened before Hazael knew what he would do, God had already spoken it. I'm going to say a few things. I can't say this ain't hell and I ain't hot. And that's the reason I shared that story. I can't do that. I can't ignore what an event that will completely change the world that you have known. Even when those who are rejoicing in it don't understand how it will change the world that you have known. The scripture says that the next step, that final step toward judgment, is that God would give them over to a reprobate mind. You know what a reprobate mind is? It's a mind without a compass. I tell people, just in private, there was a time in my life I lost my compass. And when I lost my compass, there was nowhere I wouldn't end up. There was nowhere I wouldn't go. There was nothing I wouldn't do. I lost my compass. And that's a reprobate mind. It's a mind that has no compass, that has no bearing on right or wrong or good, on evil. And so there's no place it can't go. And the scripture calls it a reject mind. Now, there's a lot of things that he says there. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, and a few other things he's going to say in a minute, but just leave it right there. All these things, and I want you to hear me. I say it because the Word of God says it. Are here, but they're going to rise like a tsunami. Amen. Upon this nation. I'm going to deal briefly with two things here. All these things, as horrible they is, the first one, haters of God. This decision, and I want you to hear me, puts the governments of our nation, and I want you to listen to me, at war, not separate, at war with the church. Why? Because the church in its stand is now an unconstitutional entity. Amen. I want you to see that. That the churches, by reading or quoting the scripture we just quoted, we are in that perverted decision in direct conflict with what our founding fathers wrote, with the Constitution of the United States. And I'm going to say this, and some people think I'm crazy, but you listen to me. The church and those that stand are going to be grouped with groups such as the KKK, with the attack, with the complete repudiation, because five people said that the Word of God is against the Constitution of the United States. And so you watch that. A nation that was trying to become atheistic cannot be that. It will become a hater of God. This, growing up, even in young ministry, unthinkable. Not just the decision, the things that I'm saying to you this morning. Unthinkable. The other thing I want to point out, and it's something I didn't even understand why it ever was in this passage of Scripture. And it's a little phrase, it almost don't fit. Everything else is so great and horrible. It says, disobedient to parents. And you say, well, there's always been rebellious kids. Yes, there have. But just as marriage has been turned over and perverted, the parent-child relationship in this nation is going to be undone by our courts. You listen to me. It's going to be undone. It's already, and this has been for years, you'll hear it in various countries and places. I want you to think about this. I was reading last year, this was a couple in the UK, a Christian couple, that had taken and fostered dozens of children, were barred by the courts from fostering, from adopting, having anything to do with kids. Why? Because they told the children that homosexuality was wrong. And they were unfit parents. And the ruling of the court was that our society cannot commit children to those whose very thought is so alien to our society. You know what that means? That you would be unfit parents. Do you understand what is happening? You take the parents that you know that have raised children, honorable men and women, as God spoke of Abraham, that his children and his children's children, you can see their doing in their children. You can see it in their grandchildren. And everything about what they've done in raising them children is because they believe God. And you mark the hour that you heard this, because our nation will say that they are unfit parents. And the disobedient, I never understood why that was there. I mean, I agree that you got to deal with disobedient kids. I was dealt with. I dealt with mine. They'll deal with theirs. But he's talking about something far more than that. There's so much I could go into. I'm not going to go into. I want to say this first. My tears, probably last year we preached, my tears are for the grandchildren of those justices. Can you hear me? My tears are for the children and grandchildren of those who are rejoicing in the streets. My tears are for those that have become so wise in their own sight that they can think they can cast God out without consequence from heaven. But my tears are not for the church of Jesus Christ. My great sadness of heart is for our nation. And for the nations of the world that our nation influences. As America goes, so goes the world. And that's my broken heart. How many were here last night in prayer meeting? My goodness. First I walked in and there's more people than a lot of services here. Calling out to God in the presence of God. You walk in and you feel the presence of Almighty God. Holy Savior. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to say what the Lord spoke through Isaiah. Arise and shine. In the hour, he said, for darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the glory of the Lord shall arise upon thee. Church, there's a verse been on my heart that God spoke again in Isaiah. He said, enter your chamber, but for a moment. And that's a call to the church. Enter your chamber, but for a moment, until my indignation is past. At an hour, and this is the hour, the things, and I want you to understand this, lest you despair in heart, the things that are come upon our nation, the decision in that was not orchestrated by man. Listen to me. Man caused it, but it wasn't orchestrated by man. It was the hand of God, the Word of God has declared it, and for over 2,500 years and 2,000 years ago almost that Paul wrote that, and you've heard it from the pulpits, it's just clearly written out for anyone that will look to see. I've got to say something else. I didn't know that it was for this hour. But last week, the Lord gave me understanding of something I've never understood. And I was so baffled by it, I quit trying to understand it. You ever been that way? Remember the parable of the unjust steward? In the scripture, the rich man had a steward, man over his goods, that was called in question that he'd wasted his goods. The master called him, said, give account, because you may no longer be steward. The man said to himself, what am I going to do? My Lord is going to take away my stewardship. He said, I can't work. To beg, I'm ashamed. And so he went and called people that owed his master money. And to one, he said, how much do you owe? And the man said, 100 measures of oil. He said, let's take your bill and let's write 50. And he went to another, he said, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said, let's take your bill, let's write 80. Let's write 80. And here's what I never understood. Jesus said, the master commended him. Commended him. And then Jesus said this. He said, make you friends. And he's not talking to you. Are you an unjust steward? He's not talking to you. Hallelujah. He's talking to unjust stewards. Stewards, as Paul said, that we are stewards of the gospel of Christ. That the Word of God is committed to us to watch over it, to declare it, to stand upon it, and to lift it up. And he speaks to unjust stewards, stewards that have not done that. And he said, make you friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, I'm going to say something that I rarely do. I'm going to call a name. I'm going to give an example. Not only do I see what this means. Men of God across the nation see. People on the other side see. People that have a lot to lose see what it means. Who is called the most influential Christian voice in the nation is telling us, and it sounds so wonderful, that we should accept people as they are, receive them into our worship, and do not seek to change them. Just let them know that we love them and God loves them. Now, doesn't that sound beautiful? You know the only thing you have to do that, is cast away Jesus Christ and why He died. Because the reason He died was to change man. He changed me. He changed you. I want you to hear that again. He changed me. He changed you. And to that unjust steward is going to take what he's been stewarded on and cut it to make the creditors happy. And I tell you this, you're going to see this across the nation as ministers and churches and organizations weigh the cost of what has come upon us. Our president, you say, well, he's not mine. Yes, he is. Our president stood and told the nation, you need to change your religious views. I'm a steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I'm an unjust steward, then I'm going to lose my position anyway. And so maybe it doesn't matter if I cut what my master spoke. But if I'm a just steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then I must stand and say, nation, don't rejoice. Jesus, going to the cross, they couldn't understand. He said, don't weep for me. Don't weep for the church. Did you hear me? Don't weep for the church. This is an hour that God will pour out His Spirit upon those that call upon Him, that will raise them up. Don't weep for the church. Jesus is being led to the cross to be crucified because the stewards, the priests said, if we don't do something about Him, the Romans are going to take away our place and our nation. Let's cut the bell. And Jesus is being led to that cross, and His mother and others are weeping. He says, don't weep for me. He said, weep for your children. And He said, the day will come, they will say, blessed are the paths that have never sucked. Blessed would you never have been born. Those days will come. But don't weep for the church of Jesus Christ. This, though it breaks your heart, is as God spoke it would be. I wish it weren't. I want to tell you about this, and I'm going to bring this every step of the way. Those who attack the Word of God will feel like they're doing such a wonderful thing. Jesus said those that kill you will think they're doing God a service, the religious people. But I'm going to tell you, the world will feel like they're doing such a wonderful thing that horrible people like you will not be able to pollute the minds of children. And I apologize for even pretending that, because I'm marking the absurdity. We live in an hour that our children are immoral, and those that are supposed to be wise tell us the way to fix our children is discard the values of a generation that was able to raise moral children. I look across the faces this morning. I don't know who hears, who doesn't, who believes, who scoffs, who understands. I do not know. The Word of God said darkness shall cover the earth. Gross darkness. But the glory of the Lord shall rise. Can we stand to our feet again? In such an hour as this, and I know the song, I will sing, I will rejoice. I will lift up my hands, and I will lift up my voice. I will tell those judges, I weep for you, but this was not your doing. I mean, they will stand accountable. on by a nation that became wiser than God. But God, glorify your people with your own self. I will sing, I will rejoice, I will lift up my hands, I will lift up my voice, I'll praise his name for his great love. I will sing.